Okay, the Torah tells us a dual prohibition as far as how we're supposed to relate to people who don't treat us the way we want them to. And we're told, lo sikom v'lo sifar es b'nei amecha, that we're not allowed, lo sikom, we're not allowed to take revenge. And not only are we not allowed to take revenge, we're not allowed, lo sitor, to bear a grudge either. And lo sitor is related to the Aramaic word in the Torah to protect, to hold on to. So when you bear a grudge, you hold on to something in your heart, you don't let it go. And that's the idea that's reflected in this prohibition. So when we talk about revenge, so you tend to think that we're talking about a guy putting on a ski mask and visiting all his enemies and wreaking vengeance and extracting payment for everything that happened to him. And the truth is, the Gemara has it in a much more mundane scenario, where he doesn't put it in such a radical context. The Gemara has it in a much more everyday kind of setting. You want to borrow somebody's lawnmower, so you ask him for the lawnmower, and he says, no, I'm not interested in giving you the lawnmower. And you say, well, gee, thanks. And then the next day, he comes to you, and he wants to borrow your coffee maker. So you say to him, nothing doing. I wanted to borrow a lawnmower yesterday. You said, no, there's no way I'm giving you a coffee maker. Says the Gemara, that's nekama. That's taking revenge. What's bearing a grudge? So then, let's say, so I said no to him, he can't have a coffee maker. And the next day, I ask him for his tape recorder. And he says to me, yeah, sure, I'll give you the tape recorder, because I'm not a jerk like some people. So he doesn't take revenge, he does it, but he's remembering the offense. He can't help mention it. He's bearing a grudge. So that, says the Gemara, that's lo sitor. So that's the two levels of the offense. And so again, it's a far less dramatic setting, but basic everyday property loaning. So to someone to hold back because I held back on him, that's revenge. And if he doesn't hold back, but he still can't let go of the offense in his mind, he still mentions something, so that's lo sitor. And the Gemara goes on to make some distinctions. The Gemara actually says that not only is this a more mundane setting than you would have thought, but the truth is, the more personal type of offenses, it's not so clear that there actually is a prohibition. The Gemara says that this is true. This prohibition is applicable to Sarah de Mamona, you know, basic monetary issues, issues of property. But if you hurt me personally, Sarah de Gufa, so then apparently it sounds like from the Gemara that it's not prohibited to take revenge. But doesn't mean it's a good idea. The Gemara goes on to say, still we encourage people to be mochel. They say, kol ha-mavra mudosev, mochel amol al-kol ha-vonosev, that if somebody is capable of forgiving, so that's a good way for him to get forgiven for everything. So the expression mavra mudosev means, Rashi in the Sechas Rosh Hashanah explains, that means that you pass up on the measurements. Now, if somebody who's going to bear a grudge, or somebody who's keeping an exact list of the exact degree to which he was offended by somebody else, he's ready to lash back. And you're not like that. You're Mavro Migosov. You don't have to keep accounts. You don't have to keep track. That's a big Mavro Kosh Baruch who's going to be mochel you for all your averis as well. So that's how the Gemara says that it's still better that you should be mochel. Unless it's a Tamar Chacham and the Kavod HaTorah has been offended. So then the Gemara has a strange expression that then it's perhaps appropriate to take revenge, so to speak. The Gemara says, "Kol Tamar Chacham she'eno nokim v'nota k'nachash." Ain't a Tamar Chacham. Tamar Chacham is not ready to take revenge, not ready to snap back like a snake. So then he's not a Tamar Chacham. So what does that mean, like a snake? So many, many Mefarshim all get to the same idea. And they say that what this means is that a snake, when he eats dirt, he lives off the dirt. That's the one of the clawers that the snake got in Gan Eden. So that means he's living a life where he doesn't enjoy anything that he eats. He gets to sustain himself this way, but he doesn't get any hanah from it. It's just dirt. So too, a Talmud Chacham is going to have to respond. So that's what has to be done. But it's not something he enjoys at all. It's going to be done just because it's necessary, and it's not something that brings any kind of enjoyment. Some suggest a little more than this also. that a snake is reference not just to his eating dirt, but for reference to the snake bite. That when a snake bites someone and poisons them, so he actually weakens himself, apparently. The snake comes out weaker from the experience. So too, a Talmid Chacham is going to find this to be a draining experience. He's going to find this to be something that takes away from him. It's just something he does only because it's necessary for Kavod HaTorah. And then the Gemara also says that even so, it doesn't mean that Talmid Chacham has to actively take revenge himself, but that he should hold on to it, so to speak, and if somebody else comes to his defense, he should let him. So these are some of the statements the Gemara has that all outline the way we relate to revenge. Gemara appears, by the way, in the Maseches Yuma, and Daf Chav Gimel went out. This is where this whole discussion takes place. I don't know if I mentioned before. So this is interesting to note. So what exactly does this tell us hashgafically about the nature, or hashgafically or practically about the nature of the prohibition? So first of all, as some Svarim point out, for example, say for Yad HaKitana, which is on the Rambam, it's about Hilchos Deis. So Yad HaKitana notes that it's a little bit interesting that really the Torah does seem to encourage punitive action sometimes. Right? The concept called kefel, if somebody gets caught with stolen property, so he has to pay twice as much, and Edom Zomimim get punished with what they tried to do. Right, so this is not all just restitution. I mean, we do have cases where people, the Torah actively tells you that you kind of extract the price from people for what they do. So what exactly our attitude to revenge is a little unclear. So what he suggests, and this, as we'll see, is seems to be the position of the Rambam as well, that the big things, if somebody steals your car, or if somebody tries to kill you in court, so the court is going to deal with that. And the big things we're going to have to deal with. But the point is that Davka, they're not giving loaning the lawnmower, they're not handing over the coffee machine. These little offenses that people tend to get annoyed over, so the Torah is sending you a message that these things you have to forget about. Because if you're going to be makbid on every little detail, if you're going to always keep score of how this guy didn't help you and that guy didn't help you, so that's how society falls apart. And that's basically how the Rambam formulates the whole prohibition, that the reason the Torah prohibits Nekim Matiris in Hilchos Deis and Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, that otherwise people just keep fighting and fighting until all society falls apart. I'm going to take revenge on you, I'm not good on you for this, and then you're going to strike back at me, and then I'm going to strike back at you for that, and then you're going to strike back at me for what I did, and it's going to keep going and going, and it was never worth it in the first place. And that's how society falls apart. It's just interesting within this discussion, so this is how he seems to understand the philosophical reasoning. He also seems to have an idea there, which I think we mentioned last week, that this idea seems to come up every single chabur, the idea of siag min haTorah, seems to come up all the time. So here's another example. This is not in Rabbi Yosef Lengel's list. I think in others they do list this, that the Rambam has a comment there in that context, in which he seems to say that that's the reason the Torah prohibited Netira. That really it's this nekama, this revenge-taking that's so dangerous, and that is where society falls apart. And if people are allowed to bear a grudge, if people are allowed to remember all the time what everyone else did to them, so they're allowed to hold on to it, so then it's going to lead to them taking revenge, because that's why they're remembering it. And therefore the Torah offered Netira, because it could lead to Nekima. I think that Netzilos and Shuvas Yad Sofer, which was written by Ramosha Sofer, not the son Sofer, but a descendant. So in those Shuvas, he also has a list, a different list from Rav Yosef Engel of the Siag Deraisas. I think on his list this is counted. This may be an example of, again, a biblical prohibition, which is a Siag for another biblical prohibition. So there ain't enough communities of that fact. That's a question. Some contemporary Sfarim suggest that if this is true, maybe you can be noter against somebody who's not alive anymore. That if there's no risk of you taking the come on them, you're not around to bear it, so then maybe it should be mutter. But that's a question if that's really true, the halacha. But it's interesting to note, just back to the Rambam's theory, that the reason why revenge is prohibited is because society will fall apart. So that could explain a sheet of his, which is that he doesn't seem to recognize the chiluk of the Gemara. We mentioned that the Gemara actually distinguishes, and the Gemara says that the nekama that's prohibited is that of monetary issues. You don't lend me your property, I won't lend you my property. But tzairi de gufa, so personal type of offenses, the Gemara said that was mutter. Now, in the Rambam, you don't actually find that chiluk. He doesn't make such a distinction that it's permitted to be nokim v'noter in an issue of personal offense. So, according to his reasoning, we understand it, that if the issue is that we're worried about society falling apart, because people are going to be makbid about every little thing, so then it makes sense that he shouldn't be mechalik. Why should that necessarily be different when talking about tzairi de gufa? The issue is, though, how does he ignore the Gemara? So there's a couple of theories how we could ignore the Gemara. So one theory is that, first of all, there's a Sefra that has the same discussion as the Gemara, but leaves out this chiluk between tzairi de gufa and tzairi de mamonah. So maybe the Rambam just passes like the Sefra against the Gemara. That's one possibility. Another possibility is there may be a different gears in the Gemara, and in the Sefer of Rav Avraham Beno Shel HaRambam, you find evidence of this gersa, where he doesn't have a distinction between tzairi de gufa and tzairi de mamona, he has it between milei de alma and milei de raisa, which would stem with the next sentence in the Gemara, that your own things you shouldn't be makbid on, but kavod atari you should be makbid on. So the Gemara had made that distinction, the Bavli had made that distinction about talmid chacham versus stama person, so maybe this sentence is the same thing, to parallel that to milei de alma and milei de raisa. So if that's the case, maybe the Rambam had a different gersa, and therefore he wasn't posking like this distinction. So those are all possible explanations for how he could deal with it textually. How could he ignore the makoros? And as far as the svaras, so it makes sense that within his logic that one should not distinguish between tzairi de gufa and tzairi de mamona, because they all fit this idea that as long as it is below a certain threshold, the Torah tells you have a right to extract the price, as long as it's not that he stole your car, or whatever it is, so then it's not right to be mocked on these little things, whether they're personal or monetary, because that's the way society collapses. The Sefer HaChinuch has a different theory, but it also fits. The Chinuch himself, the Chinuch also does not distinguish between tzairi de gufa and tzairi de mamona, and that fits the Shitasu as well, even he has a different philosophical explanation why this is. That according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the reason the Torah assered taking revenge is because api hashkafa, basically whatever happens to you in this world happens to you for a reason. It happens because it's an isayin, or it happens because it's an onesh, or it happens because it's a gamzla tova. Whatever it is, it happens for a reason. And if you're going to obsess about, oh, it happened to me because of him, and not because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen, so then you're going to miss the point. You're not going to be makabal the onesh, you're not going to be makabal the misayin, whatever the reason is, whatever the purpose of this issue is, you're just going to miss the point, and that's going to completely undermine the point of having this in your life. So, therefore, for that reason, says the Chinuch, it's not kedai to be nokim or noter, that basically to focus on the human agent of what happened to you is a major distraction from whatever message it is the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to understand. I thought you could maybe say, again, api derech hadrush, based on this, that this could be pshat in a pasuk that appears in the Tochacha. That there's a pasuk the Torah tells us in the context of Tochacha that is very difficult. Mefarshim have a very hard time understanding what this is. That the Torah tells us that one of the klalos that they're going to befall us, Rachman Otlan, is v'nastem, something like that, or it'll be you'll run away, you'll flee, v'ain rodif, and it turns out there's nobody chasing you. So all the Mefarshim have a very hard time with that, because that's good. Right? If you're, it turns out there's nobody chasing you, isn't that better than the alternative? You'd rather that you'd run away and somebody is chasing you? So it's better if you're going to run away anyway, better at least than that nobody be chasing you. So Mefarshim have a very hard time figuring out what the Torah is trying to convey with that statement. So I thought maybe you could suggest that this is by the pasuk in Vayikra, Chavav, Lamed Vav, that's what the pasuk is. So maybe you could suggest that the idea is that when people suffer in this world, Rachman Oslan, they feel that it helps them a little bit if there's some human being they can blame it on. That if two people go through equal suffering, but one of them was just a natural act, and the other one, somebody did it to them, so psychologically they feel if they can blame it on that guy, It gives them a certain release. It makes the pain a little bit less. But the truth is, it's really a distraction. That with the suffering is really the same. The fact that you can blame it on this guy doesn't really change anything. And if Akash Baruch Hu is trying to do something with you for this purpose, whatever it is, again, for whatever reason, so to blame it on that guy is going to be a distraction from that. So what the Torah is telling us is that when Akash Baruch Hu is going to punish us, so it's going to be in a way that you're not going to be able to blame it on any human being. You're not going to be able to say, it's that guy, he's my Rodef. There won't be a Rodef to blame it on. And you'll have to confront the fact that this is between you and Akash Baruch Hu. There's no human being to blame it on. And that's perhaps the nature of this pasuk. It's trying to tell us that there won't be a human being that you can point to and say it's all him. So that's of a piece of what the Chinuch is saying here, that you don't have that option that to say that, well, my suffering is because of this guy, and I'm going to get him, and he's all the cause of my problems. So that's really a bad philosophical perspective. That's going to undermine what Akash Baruch was trying to show us. So again, the Chinuch also, correspondingly, doesn't make the Chiluk between Sara de Gufa and Sara de Malana. And it makes sense, again, that within the Sfar, there's no reason to distinguish. Again, so source-wise, you can say the same answer you gave for the Rambam, that maybe he has a different Girsa, or he's passing like Sifra, whatever it is, that Chinuch often passes like the Rambam, that this is, that's his case. Well, there are many other Rishonim who did record the distinction. Many other Rishonim did quote the Gemara as stated, that there is a Chiluk between Sara de Gufa and Sara de Malona. And among them is the Urayim. And for the Sefer Urayim, so he has another Sfar in the Isser, and it works with Shripasso as well. But according to the Urayim, so why did the Torah prohibit, for example, the case the Gemara has, because he does recognize the distinction, so he's going to say, personal offenses, it's not prohibited, but if he doesn't lend me his stuff, so it's also for me not to lend him my stuff. So why is that? So explains the Sefer Urayim, and if you look in the context in Parshas Kedoshim where these psukim appear, so it's talking about all the obligations we have to Lerecha Kamocha, the obligations to help out our fellow Jews. And you might think, well, okay, so I only have to do it if he does it for me. If he's a nice guy to me, so I should be a nice guy to him. But if he's not going to be a nice guy to me, then it's right, I have the right to hold back being a Baal Chesed to him. So that's why in that context, Torah says no, that you're mechuyev to be a Baal Chesed. And even if you don't get treated that way yourself, even if a guy you're dealing with is not nice to you, still you're mechuyev to treat him nicely. So it makes sense, l'shita so, that he does recognize the Gemara's distinction, that the thrust of the Isser is not to say that you can't respond when your honor is attacked, but the thrust is to say that when we're talking about helping out other people, issues of Mamona, for example, so just because he didn't help you, it's not a good enough reason to not help him. And to hold back chesed, because he's not about chesed to you, that would be an iser of lo sikta v'lo sikta. So what do we do with this fact, then, that the Rishonim are arguing, apparently, on whether or not we recognize the chiluk in the Gemara? So the Chafetz Chaim writes that what you have here, basically, is a tzveik d'oraisa. You have an iser min ha-Torah, and you have a suffix whether or not it applies. So he says, therefore, we have to be machmer and assume that despite the fact that the Gemara records this distinction, so we have to be machmer and assume that the distinction does not exist, and the Kimo Neteira is prohibited whether it's an issue of mamonos or it's an issue of personal offense. The others suggest a little bit differently. Rav Kook has Ha'aris on the Chafetz Chaim. It's printed in some of his Svarim and some of Rav Kook's Svarim. And he suggests that it could be the Rambam and the Chinuch really do recognize the Chiluk, just they don't spell it out, because it's, since it's within their Hashkafa especially, it's a bad thing to do it, even if it's not strictly speaking prohibited. So they're not going to encourage you. They're not going to say, by the way, he could do this, because what's the point? They're going to agree that it's a terrible midah. So maybe they do Paschal like the Gemara, they just don't explicitly encourage acting on it when it's not necessary. So that's a slightly different spin. Again, the way the Chafetz Chaim said is that he assumes they don't recognize it at all, and therefore it's a sefer d'oraisa, and we have to be machmer of cooking. That ha'ara, he writes, even if you say that the Rambam or any Rishonim does hold from the Chiluk, he thought that maybe even those who hold from it, it's really kind of a b'diavad kind of thing, that the Gemara was being makil because it recognizes that if a person is personally offended, so the need to respond on some level can be so overpowering, so the Torah was lenient on them. But it was never a good idea, according to any Rishon, except in the case of Kavod HaTorah. So therefore, none of the Rishonim, or the Rishonim who don't mention it, don't feel that it's something they have to step aside and emphatically recommend. So there are a couple of possible nafkaminas of these approaches, whether you take a Rambam Chinuch approach, or whether you take a Sefer Yireim type approach. For example, let's say you live in an apartment building with thin walls, so you hear that your neighbor gets a knock on the door, and somebody wants to borrow something from him, and your neighbor says, no way, I'm not interested in being helpful at all, I'm never going to lend you any property, get out of here. And then later on that day, so the same neighbor comes and asks you to borrow, if he could borrow something. So you don't have any issue with him, he never did anything to you, but you heard him turn down the other guy. So let's say you say, I don't want to lend this guy, he's not a nice guy, he's the same guy you didn't lend the third person property earlier in the day. So, strictly speaking, that's not taking revenge for something that happened to you, it didn't happen to you. But if, as far as you're evaluating that he's not really for your chesed, so that would apply. So this is a suffix in the Sefer Sifsei Tzadik, had this chakira, and the Sefer Padis Yosef on Chumash quotes that suffix from the Sifsei Tzadik. And l'chari, this would be totally on the whole Yireim Rambam story. What exactly is the nature of the issue? Okay. So another question that the Sfarim talk about is what exactly is the connection between Nekima and Netira? That it would seem like the prohibition of Nekima would seem to include Netira in it. Or, you know, the other way around. If you're going to do an act of Nekima, so you're going to have to violate Netira along the way. So why do we need both? So what exactly is the extra chiddush of Netira? So Achronim discussed the question, is it possible to ever violate Nekima without Netira? Right? If I take revenge, it would seem that by definition I have to bear a grudge first in order to do that. So is that the case? Is it possible to violate Nekima without Netira? It's interesting, the Shagas Aryeh in his Sefer on the Saches Yuma, called Voris Ari, he notes that the two cases the Gemara gave to describe Nekima and Netira, it sounds like they're the same case. Right? Just to change the last step of the story, that in the first story the guy says no, in the second story the guy says yes, because I'm not a jerk like you. But if you follow the story, it's not really the same case with a different ending. It's a cycle. Now, in the first story, in the way we said it, was like this. The first guy asks for property, says no. And the guy who got turned down comes back to the first guy and says no to him. And then the case of Netira builds on that. That it's the other guy comes back again after this happened and says, yes, I'm not a jerk like you. That it's all one big continuum, it's all one big story to show how things just keep falling apart. So that's a question. So is it possible to violate Nekima without violating Netira? So the Vilchum Fischl Perlow has a theory. He comments on the Sefer Rav Sajigon. He's familiar with the Sefer, that have the Sefer HaMitzvahs of Rav Sajigon, a huge three-volume work, the Sefer HaMitzvahs of Rav Sajigon, which really the three volumes is not from him. The three volumes is mostly from the Vilchum Fischl Perlow commenting on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of Rav Sajigon, which would probably be a page long if it was by itself. It's a poem. But Vilchum Fischl Perlow wrote this huge commentary. So in his commentary in the Rav Sajigon, so he discusses, because he figures the Sajigon is only going to quote, is only going to count two Yisurim if there's a difference between the two. He's not going to count two separate Yisurim if one's included within the other. So he suggests there, a big chiddush, which as we'll see not everyone agrees with, that it could be that Netira requires you to really be angry. Netira requires you to be bearing a grudge. While Nekima doesn't necessarily have to be based, Nekima, Nekama, however you want to say it, doesn't have to be based on your hakbada. That maybe you're not going to lend him the property because you're worried about the getting damaged. So it sounds like him, a very bechidish, that even if you're not motivated by anger, but you're motivated by something else, so that also is a violation of Nekima. So that's a very big chiddush, and a lot of other earlier svarim and later svarim didn't agree with this. sounds like that from the Ravid, for example. That the Ravid points out that it's interesting to note this whole prohibition of Nekima. Right, so look at the story. So Reuven says, I want to borrow something. Shimon says no. Then Shimon says to Reuven, I want to borrow something. And Reuven says no. So who did the Averi here? Reuven. Right, that's kind of funny because Shimon also said no and he's innocent. So Shimon says no for no reason and he's a tzaddik. Reuven says no because he wasn't, because he wants to take revenge. He didn't get the right service from the first guy. And he's the one doing the Avera. Why is he any worse than the first guy? The first guy also said no. So the Ravid says, you see the difference is because the first guy may have said no because he's worried about his property getting damaged. So that's legitimate. But it's Reuven who does it from this feeling of anger, who does it from this feeling of being wrong, so that's where it's a terrible thing. So you see from the Ravid that in order to violate Nekima, you have to have Netira also. You have to have this sense of being wrong and acting on that, because otherwise you're not going to have the issue. The Stipler points out, based on that Ravid, though, that maybe you could say the other way around, that it sounds like from the Ravid that if the first guy did do it for some spiteful reason, even though he didn't receive that kind of treatment from him, but then maybe that's also called Nekima, that if you're doing it for, if you're holding back chesed for anything less than a good reason, and for anything less than some type of self-protection or some type of justifiable explanation, so that's also called Nekima, even if the guy didn't actually hurt you, which is also a big fetish. And that seems along the lines of the Yireim, that maybe what the Ravid is saying, like the Yireim, that the Torah is telling you that you're supposed to be a Baal Chesed, even if you don't think this guy deserves it. So if you decide he doesn't deserve it for some petty reason, even if it's not actually that he hurt you directly, but just you don't like him, whatever it is, you don't like his hair, so that's also apparently going to be included within the Yisra of Nekima. That's a very big fetish. But I think posts can generally assume that if you're motivated by basic economic concerns, for example, rather than actually striking back, then that's not Nekima. There's a truth about this in the Shevet HaKahasi, for example. Like, let's say somebody says, I'm not going to invite this guy to my wedding because he didn't invite me to his wedding. But it's not because you're angry. It's because, okay, so you're trying to cheshbon who's close to me. So, okay, he didn't invite me, so he doesn't think I'm close to him, so okay, so he's not going to be makbid if I don't invite him. So it's not, you're not doing it out of anger, you're doing it because it makes sense, economics to factor that in. So he writes that that's an example of something that wouldn't be Nekima. And therefore you see that Nekima therefore is really all based on mind reading. It's all based on knowing what your thoughts are when you do something. Are you doing it for legitimate reasons, or are you doing it because you're angry? And that's why the Pasuk in the context of the Kimunitira says, Ani Hashem. That's how the Maharshag writes in his Tshuvas. Shimon Greenfield, who was a Talmud of the Maram Shik, was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, who was a grand Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So the Maharshag writes in his Tshuvas, the reason the Torah says Ani Hashem in the context of the Kimunitira is because it's all based on what you're thinking. So you could claim that you're not doing something because of revenge, but because Baruch Hu knows you really are. So we know sometimes the Torah emphasizes Ani Hashem when something it's davar hamaser lulev, it's something that only you know if you're violating. So this is apparently one of these Isurim as well. So another issue as far as defining Netira and whether or not you can violate Nekima without violating Netira is the question of, do you have to spell it out? Do you have to actually say, yes, here's the property because I'm not a jerk like you? Or what if you just think it? So it sounds like from Rashi a little bit that it's all about thinking, because Rashi says that the nation of Netira is that your noter belev, you hold it in your heart, and you haven't let yourself be mesiach das from it. So some suggest that this means that you can be over on Netira even if you're just thinking it. If you're holding it in your mind, you don't say it. That's Netira, and that's the way some Rishonim say, the Rebbeinu Yonah and the Sefer Achinuch understand like that, that it's possible to violate Netira just machshava ba'almam. Rav Kook thought that this is not the case, that this is it's impossible to say that the Isser is going to be done mentally, because even if we assume that the whole nature of the offense is the machshava, that it's this thought that really is the root of the problem, still the Torah asks actions. And to say that this, that you're thinking about it without doing anything, without saying anything, is going to be asked. So Rav Kook thought that was too much. even if you want to say that the nature of the Isser is the mindset, still it has to be expressed somehow. This idea that the mindset has its own aspect to itself. So there was another Chiddush Halacha that was suggested by Rav Shmuel Baruch Werner, who I think was Rav Chalap's uncle, relative of Rav Chalap. They passed away a little while ago. The Sefer Zekarim that was printed for him. So he suggests that you see from this idea that if the mindset really is the focus, so this also creates another idea within the Kima Tira, that just as you're not supposed to take revenge against somebody, but also when you're on the other side of the equation, let's say you do something positive for somebody, and he doesn't pay back to you, he doesn't reciprocate. So then you may develop a bad feeling against the guy because he doesn't do for you the good that you do to him. So therefore, to work on that, to work on dealing with that, and to try to erase that bad feeling, that could also be a part of the obligation that the Torah has in this context. Well, just mention one more suffix about this issue that also comes from the question of whether it's representing a certain type of mindset or not. So the Parsha Yosef and Chumash also quotes this question, that let's say the following scenario comes up. Let's say two people knock on your door at the same time, and they both want to borrow the same object, so you can't lend it to both of them, you're going to have to pick one. And one of the guys didn't help you yesterday, and the other guy is neutral, the other guy you have no problems with. So since you can only lend it to one guy anyway, so who should you lend it to? Should you say, well, so I'm only going to pick one guy anyway, I have the right to at least pick the guy I'm not angry with. So let me pick the neutral guy, rather than give it to the guy who hurt me. Or should you say that the Isser of Nekima Natira tells me I davka should pick the guy who did hurt me? So that also could be totally on how you understand things. That if the idea is striking back because of what happened to you or something like that, so then you could say that, all right, I'm not striking back here. I only have the ability to lend to one person anyway, so let me lend it to the guy who I don't have any problems with. But if the idea is really dealing with this bad feeling that you have, so then you can make the case that just like when it comes to Te'inu Prika, I think we discussed this recently also, that there is an inyan that if you have two people who both need your help with their mule, need your help loading their stuff onto their animal, and one guy is your friend and one guy is your enemy, so the Yadavka should help the enemy first, so that you should deal with the fact that he's your enemy. You shouldn't hate the guy, you shouldn't really have sinus for somebody, and therefore if he needs your help, you should help him before somebody else, because that way you can confront the fact that you have this issue to deal with. So too here, if it's the whole nature of Nekima Tira, maybe Davka, not only should you not hold back when somebody who wasn't nice to you needs help, but maybe Davka should prioritize him over somebody who is neutral, because that's the whole nature of what's what the Isser here is, that you have to actively deal with that feeling. It's an interesting possibility, l'halacha. Okay, so maybe we'll end there, but just very quickly, chazal we spoke about. So we spoke about the fact that the Torah has a prohibition of Nekima Natira, that to say you're not going to help out somebody because he didn't help you, that's Nekima, and to say you will help him out, but mentioning that you're not like him, so that's Natira. And the Gemara is machalik between Mamona and Gufa. Apparently Gufa is mutter, but still not a good idea. Better to be mocha on a Talmud Chacham is a different story than he's allowed to let somebody be makrit for him because kavod Torah. So we mentioned different theories in philosophy why this is. We mentioned the Rambam believes it's because on the small things that are less than what a Beis Din can deal with, so society will fall apart if everybody's always makrit. And according to the explanation, he rules L'shitaso, apparently seems to rule, there's not machalik between Mamonis and Tzara de Gufa. So it makes sense for Shita. So the question is, how do you deal with the Gemara? So first of all, it could be that he passes like a Sifra who doesn't have this chiluk against the Gemara, or it could be he had a different gears in the Gemara, different theories like that. But L'shita so it makes sense, and also L'shita Zachinach it makes sense that the nature of the Isser is that you shouldn't be distracted from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's message by saying it's all because of that guy. And we mentioned based on L'chinach, we could say also Pshat in that pasuk in the Tocha, that the reason it's a klala to be running away even without a rodef is because you don't have a human being to blame things on. And so again, the Chinuch also doesn't distinguish, and then we discussed that the Yireim does distinguish, and according to the Yireim, he has a different shita, that the idea is that when the Torah is saying you have to be a Baal Chesed, so you're not allowed to be Munei Chesed just because the other guy is not nice to you, and therefore it makes sense that he does record this chiluk between Mamonis and Sarah de Gufa. Now we mentioned the Chafetz Chaim's position, that since it's machlokas Rishonim, so also Safek Derayis, so we have to be machmer. We mentioned the cook's are that maybe the chinuch and the Rambam do agree to the chiluk, they just don't feel any need to recommend it because certainly we should toss some terrible thing. And so we mentioned a possible nafkamina of that question. What if you know that somebody refused to help somebody else out, but not you? So can you hold back from helping him? Is that called Nakima? Maybe according to the Rambam and the Chinuch it isn't, but according to the Reim, it seems to fit into what they were talking about. And then we talked about some other questions. The question as far as defining the territory here, is it possible to violate Nakima without violating the Tira, or does one by definition have to include the other? So we discussed a few issues that may make that possible. First of all, the question of what if you do an act that would constitute Nakima, but you do it for less than hostile reasons, you do it for economic reasons. For Ruchum Fushal Parlo Fata, still Nakima, there were many riots. Maybe not that way. We mentioned the Ravid's position, but that's the whole reason that the second guy is worse than the first guy, because he does it for a nasty reason, while the first guy could do it for an innocent reason. And I mentioned the Stipler Sahara, that the assumption seems to be that if the first guy, Taka, did it for a nasty reason, that would also be Nakama, even though he himself didn't actually suffer an offense from this guy. That maybe that's the Gedra Yisr, that act for less, to hold back chesed for less than a justifiable reason is, by definition, this act. We mentioned in the discussion of Shiva HaKahasi about making a decision about wedding invitation like that based on who invites you. It's not necessarily in the comments, maybe motivated by economics, and that most poskim would assume is mutter, and how the Marshag writes. That's why the Torah says, Ani Hashem, because it really all depends on what you're thinking. And then we discussed the question of, what if it's just mental? If you're not actually going to say anything, but you're thinking it, so is that still a violation of the Tira? So some Rishonim will go yes, and I'm not sure if Cook had a little bit of a discussion about that. And then we mentioned that if the focus is on the Machshava, so then you could also say, as Rav Shmuel Baruch Werner said, that maybe even in the case of positive actions, you do something nice for somebody and he doesn't reciprocate, so that could also create a type of bad feeling that maybe the Torah is telling you have to work to deal with, and that also could relate to another issue that the Paris Yosef quotes, that if you have to choose between helping somebody who hurts you and helping somebody who is neutral, then maybe your davka should help somebody who hurts you, because the whole idea is to conquer this feeling, just like helping out somebody who's your sone. So to hear, maybe the idea of losikam velositor is you should davka address this midah and specifically help that guy. Okay, we will stop here.